I'll probably stop complaining about the moves within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
If Jim Benning's done. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Five Hole Fantasy Hockey. We're your hosts today, TJ Branson and Mike Rogerson.
Hey.
Zach is, what is he? He's week to week with a broken computer, 4 to 6, he said. So we're going to be holding down the fort till he figures stuff out. The purpose of today's episode is just to recap everything that happened on Free Agent Frenzy Day. Tons of stuff happened. You, as a Vancouver Canucks fan, I'm sure you're going to have tons to say, but like, we're waiting for all those really, really big names. I think Jacob Markstrom and Torrey Krug were amongst the biggest names to go, but we're still waiting on like Petrangelo and Taylor Hall, Mike Hoffman, Evgeny Dadonov, Anthony Duclair added to the mix. So there's a lot still left to talk about. So
yeah, don't you sit here and talk to a Canucks fan and say the big names haven't been moved yet. That's the wrong way.
Big names have moved for you. That's for sure. Let's start with like a recency bias. So about an hour ago, Brendan Saad got traded to Colorado along with Dennis Gilbert for Nikita Zadorov and Anton Lindholm. I can't talk too much about Lindholm because I don't know enough about him, but Zadorov is an absolute bang daddy. Gilbert, banger as well. Brendan Saad, going to be a great piece down the lineup, you'd have to imagine, because it's not going to be, you know, who are they moving? It's not going to be Rantanen. It's not going to be, Burakovsky or Landeskog. Maybe a second line piece, maybe if they don't get Hall. I guess they're out on Hall, but
yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, he adds he's a bit of a banger. He could end up in the top six, and he's been capable of offense in the past at certain times, never very consistent though.
You got Zadorov going the other way. He's going to be banging a lot because it seems like there was a tweet from Mark Lazarus that he said, and I quote here, "Blackhawks just full on punting the 2021 season. It's a total rebuilding season," in parentheses then, "or two or three. I guess if there aren't going to be any fans anyway, there's less impetus to put a good product on the ice." So it sounds like, and you could probably confirm it too without re-signing Corey Crawford and kind of trotting out Malcolm Subban and Chris Delia or Kevin Lankinen, that it's not going to be a good year for the Blackhawks. So the Artemi Panarin trade comes full circle and you get Nikita Zadorov for Artemi Panarin. That's a freaking bummer.
That's rough. Yeah, I could see them just running out the clock on the couple of big contracts they have left too. And a bangers league only concern, really, this trade.
Yeah, for sure. Andreas Janssen goes to New Jersey. I think they're just adding a bunch of depth on the wings. So that, I think, is a pretty good add. I don't know if he's probably going to be a middle six kind of guy, depending on whether or not they can move the needle with Kyle Palmieri. But there's still a lot of chips that can fall in New Jersey. They have a ton of money. So I don't want to, put a stamp on anything with Andreas Janssen. He'll probably just be a solid depth piece. He'll definitely get more minutes than he did in Toronto. So that's one thing to consider.
That's the thing for sure. He showed flashes of being all right. But mm-hmm. Yeah, in Toronto, like, what are you going to do?
Let's get the big one out of the way for you, man. Jacob Markstrom to Calgary. How you feeling?
Just give me a sec.
You drafted Jacob Markstrom in like every dynasty too.
I actually feel good about it now. For as far as fantasy, it's just personally, he was so good. Bringing in Holtby, it actually does make sense financially and all that, but Holtby's back to being a question mark, where Markstrom was like on the way up, Holtby's on the way down. You know, good for him. He's earned a paycheck. And, at 30 years old, it's his first big paycheck. So he's getting like his big payday later than a lot of guys. So he kind of couldn't take a hometown discount.
Yeah.
So it sucks. But the bright side for him is now that they have Tanev there too, there's Tanev and Giordano blocking in front of him.
Yeah.
So he could be in good shape, and he's probably going to play a lot. So, I mean, fantasy-wise, he's probably just as good shape as he was in Vancouver, to
be
honest.
Yeah, if not, like, slightly better. I like the defensive element.
It just fucking hurts
my heart. I know. It's like...
There's no points for that, though, so...
Western Canada has just been tossing goalies around the past 3 years. Like, we saw the Talbot for Mike Smith, quote-unquote, trade that happened last year, where they both just swapped spots. And now Markstrom's in Calgary, and the goalie carousel played itself out a little bit. But I want to talk about Jacob Markstrom in Calgary here. So they did bring in Chris Tanev. There's a, you know, Calgary's trying to do that defensive game that apparently got Vancouver out of the first round. I don't think it was much of a defensive game that did that, but I can see what they're going for. Markstrom's going to be the no question number one. I don't think Big Save Dave is Big Save Dave anymore. I think he's like, you know, a save here and there, Dave. So
yeah,
you could probably pencil Markstrom in for like 50. And Rittich is now like officially a backup. So I think that's good. I think it's a decent fit. You got, like you said, the Norris winner and Giordano in front of him. Hanifin, Tanev, that familiar face there. I think it's like a marginal step up if you know, the friggin' goalie coach, Ian Clark, that's going to be like his only real loss here.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And I think, like you said, the whole Calgary team is probably going to collapse into a bit more defensive team until they can figure out what they're going to do with their forward. So I think, yeah, fantasy wise, I'm still happy to have Markstrom. It's just, that's one of those ones, right? Like first time when I see him come out in a red and white jersey, it's just going to be fucked, man. It's not going to be good.
How are you feeling about Holtby wearing the blue?
Well, put it this way, like a sub 900 save percentage, bottom five over the last 3 years in every major statistical category, 3+ goals against. I mean, like I said on Twitter earlier, like he's cheap for a reason, man. Like he's, yeah. If he was worth anything, he wouldn't be there for $2 million. But I mean, fine. If he works out fine and it times well with Demko, which is obviously the larger plan. So
yeah, this seems like a pure, like, I don't think Markstrom wanted to touch any of the numbers that Vancouver was probably handing him, like term or dollars. So this makes sense for Vancouver and Holtby. You know, I'm not exactly taken aback by this one from a fantasy standpoint. Like, the macro stats don't look good. You know, the goals saved above average and all that shit. But I think the micro stats are going to back it up. There's a lot of low danger shots in Vancouver. And I think that he's going to be able to have that like Markstrom effect, but there's also a ton of high danger scoring chances. So we'll see if Holtby can fix that part of his game before he is exposed to the expansion draft. So looks like Holtby is your number one starter in Seattle.
Our goalie god friend Kevin there on another podcast this morning, he was talking about some of that stuff, and man, he knows the stuff. I guess him and Holtby are buddies. So he said right off the top, I'm a little biased. And he was right. Going on about how Holtby will fit. And he was talking about putting Holtby into Ian Clark's hands. And like, he could see him stepping up a little bit. But then he did spend the last 10 minutes saying, but by every calculation I make, Markstrom's actually been the number one goalie in the league for the last 2 years for performing above average in every one of those type of stats. So he said you did downgrade, but planning wise and managerially, like we did, it's a good fit for the plan anyways.
So I think, what do you think for Holtby here fantasy-wise? Now, we're probably going to get a lateral move stats-wise, but I think we're going to lose some of the starts. And we started to see that a little bit with Samsonov in Washington. Like, there was kind of a Rene Saros thing going on there. Do you think it's going to be like a 50-50, maybe 55-45% starts? How do you see it?
I was guessing about, like, percentage-wise, 55-45. And then next year, Demko, they're obviously weaning Demko into number one over the next 2 or 3 years. And then, you know, they'll do the same thing with DiPietro. But there was an interesting thing about Holtby's contract. They kind of did this weird stack thing. So he's getting most of the money next year. So they said that even if he, if they do expose him to Seattle, they might not want him because of the way they structured this weird deal.
Oh, well. I've noticed a lot of the contracts are doing that too. Like, there was an inordinate amount of 2-year contracts, and a lot of them were like humping in the middle, almost like a bell curve where, you know, you get a little bit of money, but then Seattle has to chew down like this huge contract, and then it kind of like it's buyout worthy later on so that you can, you know, it's cheaper. So like a lot of stuff in the bulk in the middle.
And for the Canucks thing too, that also just does happen to line up with like Sutter and Louis Erickson's contracts dying out too next year, so we actually will have money. But yeah, Holtby might be a little better off this year than he was last year, stats wise, because he was bullshit last year.
It wasn't hard to be better.
But yeah, in terms of like bulk leagues, like if it's a league that counts a lot of saves as being valuable, I don't think you'll have a lot, or you won't get a ton of wins, but you might have decent percentages. But having said that, we just traded away Stetcher and just traded away Tanev, who are the only two guys who play defense on the team. So there's also that to consider too, unless something happens.
But who's left in a defensive role right now? Like, yeah, I know you got Hughes, you got Edler.
Like Myers.
All right, yeah.
Jordy Ben. Fantenberg. Like, oof. Something's got to happen.
I think maybe we could see one of those young guys, like a Rathbone or a Ulevi or something. Like, that could be fun. It's not going to be
confidence-inspiring. I don't see them stepping inspiring. In and, like, shutting things down, though.
Right,
like Tanev was. But we better get off the Canucks, or I'm going to go on all night about it. But it does kind of lead to the carousel, hey? Like, because Markstrom's out, so Holtby comes in. So then Lundqvist goes to the Caps.
Right. And I think his role is so cut and dry. It's very black and white. He's just going to be a veteran backup, like a leadership role type of thing, until Copley or Vanacek can get in. I guess Vanacek is now supplanting Copley in the kind of the pipeline there. So you would assume that Lundqvist is the backup. It's probably an even timeshare, probably tilted a little bit towards Samsonov. I think 30 to 40 starts. Lundqvist is going to thrive there. There's not a good defensive system in Washington, but there's at least some semblance of one, as opposed to just bleeding shots like New York was accustomed to doing. So I think Lundqvist is going to be really good. He's under the radar, a really good goalie, even for what New York kind of laid on him. So I think this is a good move for them. It was perfect.
And as like a third goalie in fantasy, I bet Lundqvist also will be better stats wise than he was last year. And he's going to have a little chip on his shoulder too, right? But now they could also maybe, depending on what they do, between him and Ovi and Kuznetsov and that, just take like one more run, right?
Yeah, one more swing at it for sure.
Get Lundqvist the cup. And
good. I get to root for somebody in the Metro. I can't wait. Speaking of which, Corey Crawford to New Jersey. What do you think here?
They bought out Schneider a couple of days earlier, so you could see. I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, by the way, another goalie that the Canucks ruined, just a side note. but another one of those situations, right? Old dude, couple years left, Stanley Cup winner to mentor a young hotshot coming up. So I think it'll be probably a really similar situation to like, more like Holtby and Demko kind of thing, a 50-50 mentorship kind of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe trying to favor Blackwood as much as he can handle.
I think that's probably the ultimate plan, yeah.
But it's New Jersey still that they're playing on, so you're like essentially close to a 50-50 split on a garbage pail team, so like, you know.
Well, you could argue that he was in the same role in Chicago, wouldn't you? I mean, there's offensive weapons there, but as far as defense, like, they don't play it.
True enough.
So, if anything, I think this is going to be lateral for Crawford.
Yeah. And I wasn't rushing to the wire, you know, to draft him at any point before this.
I was actually thinking about checking in on some Blackwood owners, because I know some people were kind of like, oh, well, what are they going to do? They're going to have Blackwood and Schneider. Blackwood's going to be like this workhorse, and he'll get volume, and he's been okay. So like now Blackwood owners kind of go from having this guy that could almost be a sure thing for 50-55 to more of a 40-45 with a 50 ceiling as far as game starts go. So I think it's a smart signing for New Jersey, like really underrated move. And, you know, Blackwood might take a little bit of a hit, but I think in the long run, this is really good for his development. New Jersey doesn't have anything in the pipeline either. So, you know, just a stopgap until you can figure out what you're doing, I guess. Like Giles Sen or Sen Giles or whatever his name is. Like, not the guy.
I think as if I was a Crawford owner or a Blackwood owner, I wouldn't like change my plans from what they were. I don't think this really rocks the boat too hard fantasy wise. But you know what? Back to the Canucks for a second. We didn't really talk about what do you think that does to Demko's value. Like, they're obviously making a bit more of a push to make him number one sooner than if Markstrom was there. And now there's a clear cut window. So who wants to trade me Demko?
I would bet anybody is probably holding on to him pretty good. I don't know. I think this is good for him. Okay. So while we're on Corey Crawford in New Jersey, let's touch on Chicago. Like we were talking about with the Brandon Saad trade. They're punting, it seems. Like they're just folding right now. Malcolm Subban is apparently their starter. Are you going to touch that? Are you going to, like, whatsoever? Or is this kind of like us throughout the entire season are just going to be like, all right, stack whoever's playing against Chicago. Do you think we're going to see one of those kind of years?
Can he be a number one, even as a, even to punt? Like,
I think that's what they're planning. It's the strangest thing.
Give them first pick now, I guess, because who's backup to that then? How would you feel about being his backup?
Colin Delia. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess, I would say they'd have to bring somebody in. But
there's not much left on the free agent market, but, you know, Fleury's name is still kind of dangling out there. Peter Mrazek. Not that I think that Chicago has anything worth sending back that Carolina would be interested in, but like the free agent market right now is Craig Anderson, Jimmy Howard, Aaron Dell. Like that's about as deep as it gets. Thomas Greiss was like the last one.
Yeah, there's no way Fleury's going to go to a terrible team to finish things out.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Least of all Chicago, I would think. Okay, so Thomas Greiss to Detroit. What do you say?
Well, I don't know. It's another one of those, like, play as good as he, like, if there's saves is a category, then he is going to get hammered with pucks, I would assume.
I'd imagine, too, yeah. They just brought in Troy Stetcher, too, yeah?
They did bring in Troy. Why do you got to keep hurting me? But, yeah, they did bring in Troy
Stetcher. I didn't do it. Jim Benning did. Not a good day for him, huh?
Man, like, the only thing... I just keep saying there must be something coming because he can't.
Yeah.
Just,
you're saving all this money and you still don't have to fully signed. Like what are you saving all this money for?
I don't know. Like who's left.
You're stressing out over there. I can see
Pietrangelo. That would make it all okay. But we definitely don't have like a $9 million for a D man.
I wonder if there's like an under the blanket deal going on right now for Oliver Ekman-Larsson. So we'll see. I know he said, you know, that he wouldn't okay a trade unless it happened before noon the other day or 9 a.m. your time. Like it could still be happening.
Yeah, that wouldn't make me happy. That's $8 million for.
Yeah, for a long time.
For a long time.
Okay, we got pretty far away from Thomas Greiss here.
Greiss.
He does lose. He loses the trot system.
Yes.
But Greiss has had flashes of being okay even before Thomas Greiss was there. So, like, I know there's pure talent there. It's, like, not everything can be attributed to Barry Trotz in there. Thomas Greiss is a good goalie in his own right. I wouldn't bet on him to, you know, take Detroit into a contending spot or anything like that or into a place of fantasy relevance. But, again, if you're looking at a volume goalie, I think Thomas Greiss could be there. It could be, at, like, a dark horse pick. Who knows? In 6 months, we're going to be talking Thomas Greiss, you know, two shutouts in a row or some shit like that. Like, we don't know. Like, Thomas Greiss is a good goalie on a bad team. We've seen it before. So who knows what's going on there?
Could be the next, like, John Gibson. Depending on the categories, right? If it's a categories league and it values stat bulk as opposed to percentages, maybe he'll be okay. And just, you know, don't count the win column too heavy. But yeah, I don't want him. I don't want him myself.
You'll need a win workhorse as part of your fantasy tandem, but Greiss could get you the volume. Cam Talbot to Minnesota.
Yeah, Cam Talbot to the Wild. you know, it was a day, so Garen did something. Because that's what he does, right?
He wakes up and he does something and then he goes back to sleep.
I don't know. Get rid of Dubnyk, bring in Talbot. Why not?
I like that move. It's good.
He had hot playoffs. And
Minnesota has a really good defense. This could be a good fit. I don't like what it does to Kaapo Kähkönen's value. I was kind of hoping that would be on the horizon sooner than later. Stalock is now solidified as a backup. Talbot's probably going to get volume. I don't think he's going to get past that 55 mark. I think it's a good fit for Talbot. He's got great defense in front of him. You know, considering if they do keep Dumba, I guess tomorrow's a new day, so Garen's going to have to do something. That's so true, we'll see. Yeah. what if Vancouver's in on Dumba? That could be fun.
That would be great.
$6 million.
That would be way more digestible for things. But I think this, like for Talbot and this trade here, I would like him better than I did last year. I would say that.
I think this is the net positive for fantasy. He's due to see some more volume. So I think this is good. Probably lateral in terms of like counting stats. I don't think he's going to have like a, you know, save percentage spike or any of that shit. But do you got any other goalies that I might have forgotten?
Well, there was a minor one, again, relating back to Markstrom, of course. But John Giles or Gillies went off to St. Louis to back up.
Yeah, I think he'll be the number three there.
Back up Binner and those guys, so not really a game changer in any direction, but that did happen.
Yeah, out of the Calgary, I guess they got Dustin Wolf and, shoot, who's the other guy?
Doesn't even matter now that they got Markstrom. Who cares?
Yeah, on long term, so.
Yeah, really long term. We offered 5x5, and they offered 6x6. And initially, it's just like, why wouldn't he just take ours? And I was like, oh, yeah, because that's millions and millions of dollars difference. It's not.
Right. It's a lot of money and a lot of term. Defenseman, let's start from the big ones down. I think Torrey Krug is probably the biggest one here. As a guy that led D-men in power play points last year, I think that's as much confirmation as we need that he's going to be running the top power play. Mm-hmm. And Pietrangelo is gone. So I think those are two things that we can confirm. Vince Dunstock, I know in the Discord I was like, oh, well, there goes, you know, my Vince Dunstock. I think it's about where it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only way that he had a chance at top power play. And that wasn't even a confirmed thing. Like, there was still Perrieco there. You know, Justin Falk, if they were feeling particularly froggy, there was nothing guaranteed for Vince Dunn, even if it did make sense to us on the ground floor. But what do you think this does for Torrey Krug's value, losing Marchand, Pasta, and Bergeron?
Well, I mean, I was going to say he's got Tarasenko, or not. Maybe.
There's weapons there, right?
I think, like, it's good, actually, to be honest.
Pasternak weapons.
The one thing, I mean, it's one of those situations where you can either look at it and go, he had like the best line in hockey on the power play and to play with 5-on-5. Or you can also look at that as the negative. The old saying, right, there's still only one puck. So those top three guys are the three who pass it to each other and put it in the net. Not that Krug really suffered, but imagine now that he's like, everything is going to run through him no matter what. So I think he's probably going to end up about the same, maybe a tiny bit less, but I don't think he's going to like fall apart or anything.
He's not going to plummet. Yeah. I mean, Pietrangelo was doing okay with that deployment. He had like 50, 55 most years. So I think that's probably where we're going to see Torrey Krug. Maybe not 60 points anymore, but, you know, it'll only be like, you know, 3-4 points by the end of the year. What do you think this does to the boys in Boston? Like, they're going to have either Matt Grizzlick or friggin' Charlie McAvoy or free agent. Like, if they're still in on OEL or Matt Dumba or Eric Gustafsson, no matter how you play it, it's going to be a downgrade. You can't upgrade on Torrey Krug unless you get Pietrangelo.
That's true, but I mean, yeah, that's true for the defensive side of things, but I don't think it really matters. I don't think they're going to fall apart without Krug or anything. Like, I think the perfection line can handle themselves regardless of who's back there. And plus, Krug, like, I didn't look at the numbers, but I didn't really see, like, if their power play fell right off the map when Krug was out or anything like that. I don't imagine it did.
I mean, you probably don't have the same, like, lethality. Is that a word? Like, not as lethal? Matt Grzelcyk was the guy that took over for Krug, and I think that was largely due to them both being left-handed. So I think if they do go into next season with no, you know, top power play free agent signing or anything, Charlie McAvoy could be the guy. I think that they could restructure the top power play in a way that would work and welcome a right-handed defenseman. Charlie McAvoy could escape my black book of fantasy untouchables. And I'm not saying like he's irrelevant, he's a good banger, but it's just one of those guys that has more NHL hype than fantasy hype. And those two things aren't the same. Like, a lot of people draft McAvoy because they hear his name a lot, and he's like coveted as this really good hockey player. It's just, you know, he's 35 points and 100 of each bang.
I think, McAvoy in certain leagues, he's still fine, but he's almost like just become his own meme of just like, oh, yeah, really? You're going to take him, eh? Like, he's just kind of that guy.
I think, you know, if they do go McAvoy, I would be okay. I would actually target him. So I think it'd be a good bet for 50, even if it is Grzelcyk. Like, Grzelcyk doesn't get the best even strength deployment, but I could still see these guys putting up like 20 power play points over the course of a year, just based on the fact that they touch the puck with these guys.
I think Boston's overall a little closer to falling apart than they get credit for. I mean, I can see a lot of decline from everybody except Pasta coming, to be honest. I mean, Bergeron's falling apart. Marchand's getting up there. So, you know, take Krug out of the picture. Chara's like 1,000 years old.
Yeah, I'll say the wheels are definitely squeaking, but I think the cart's still pushable, so.
I did see that Rask said he'll only play in Boston. He's either going to get offered something and take it, or he's going to retire.
Yeah.
So it kind of seems like there's a few things like that where it could be, a lot of things could change in Boston, or not for a year or two, but I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden there was some surprise. I wouldn't be surprised by surprises from Boston, actually.
Next biggest move that I got in terms of defensemen is Tyson Barrie to Edmonton. And I am maybe not regretting my Bouchard shares in most of the dynasties, but now I got to wait a year. And in one league in specific, I had Bouchard kind of lined up as one of my defensemen. So now I'm rocking, like, I got Torrey Krug in that one too. Torrey Krug, Shea Theodore, I think I got like Sanheim, Victor Mete, and Ilya Lyubushkin. So it's going to be a tough one, but I got a couple guys that are going to carry me and Bouchard next year. So that can be pretty good.
Yeah. I think Bouchard was the big loser in that picture, but man,
that's going to be good.
I think Barrie, dude, like, he could sneaky.
You remember when he was top power play in Colorado?
That was his whole life. Like, his whole life was
he led the league
play.
In power play time on ice, dude. And he, 27 power play points or something.
Yeah, it was a huge percentage of his points. Then he went to Toronto and they took him off the power play and he didn't exist, so they had to put him back on. Do you remember when Edmonton had a wicked quarterback on the power play?
Not really.
Because they never have. So now you got, you know, the obvious guys up front, and then you have like a real dude that could be a thing.
Yep.
So
I think this is going to be great. So this is going to be one of the only times that I'm going to agree with NHL Fantasy on Ice that this is going to be a top 10 fantasy own. Because they called it last year, and then Barrie put up like 30 points. So I will actually agree with these guys this time, because I think this is something we should be hyping up. He was an absolute unit with Colorado on the power play. He was tops in the league on power play time on ice. I think that is something that we could see becoming a reality again. There's huge upside with Tyson Barrie in Edmonton.
Well, and there's no confusion, too, because they've got Klefbom, who's a block monster. He'll eventually come back. Nurse is a decent defender. Even Ethan Bear is a good defender.
Yep.
Whereas
they got to sign him yet.
In Toronto, it was like, okay, well, we have Muzzin who can play defense and everyone else has to try to chip in, right? But in Edmonton,
Toronto's done well.
Edmonton, Barry's going to be able to just go, okay, you're the offensive defenseman on this team. You go for it. So
yeah, it's a perfect fit.
Hopefully before this episode comes out tomorrow, I'm going to be trying to make some trades for Barrie for sure.
You and me both, dude. So Shattenkirk to Anaheim, is this exciting to you at all?
If I'm John Gibson, I'm happy to have a real defenseman in front of me, but as fantasy, I don't give a shit at all.
Yeah, none of their power play defensemen have been like too relevant. I remember one year where Cam Fowler was like 39 points or something, and that was the best they could come up with. So I think this one's like boom or bust on the top power play. I don't see huge things happening here, but
75-year-old Getzlaff, and I don't know. What are you going to do?
If he does get top power play, I think he could probably, like in your redraft leagues and stuff like that, he could probably be like your bottom defenseman, and you could be okay with that.
Yeah.
I want to shout out to James at Fantasy Hockey Trades because Jack Johnson is a New York Ranger. I just wanted to remind you of that. And then we can move on to TJ Brody to Toronto.
Hey, just hold on a second here.
Sure. What's up?
Jack Johnson's another one of those guys that, you know, you kind of laugh about, but now he's only $1 million.
Right, yeah.
And bang your cats leagues, man. He is tons of hits and blocks for $1 million.
Not bad.
So
he'll probably be like, he's a cheap third pairing guy, but
in a cap league when he was $6 million or whatever, he was a joke. But for $1 million, you know, sure.
Maybe. I just wanted to remind him.
He's on the Rangers, James.
TJ Brody to Toronto. Really good defensive presence, little to no offense. I don't think this one's going to be too big for fantasy unless you're like really into, like, I don't know, takeaways or giveaways or anything. Like if giveaways is like, you know, you get points taken away for a giveaway, like TJ Brody's really good at not giving away the puck and really good at taking the puck. So there's that. It's good for the goalies, I would think.
Yeah. Great for the team. Like great hockey move. And you know, it's great for us is a job saver for Dubas, I think. Like that's a proper move right there.
Yeah, hockey wise. That and Bogosian. So yeah,
but fantasy.
I don't think there's gonna be certain, you know, pundits out there that are gonna be like, oh my god, a new defenseman in Toronto, like hop all over him. No, just TJ Brody's not an offensive guy. Just keep that in mind.
No, and he's not even he's not even bangery enough to be a category league banger guy in my opinion, but
I don't think so either.
Good for Toronto for doing something right.
Justin Schultz to Washington. Is this a possible power play two type thing?
You know what? He was good once. I was looking back at his stats because right. I remember there's one year I was like, fuck, I'm going to sneaky try to get this guy and you got a shit ton of points. But that really only happened one time. And he averaged like under 60 games a year in his career, like classic Pittsburgh style.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe that's part of your contract in Pittsburgh. You only have to play 60 games or something because they seem to all do it. But I wouldn't be.
That's upset. Why I think this kind of hurts his value is because his value was based on Chris Letang being hurt.
That's true.
And John Carlson doesn't get hurt, so I think Justin Schultz probably takes a hit here.
Yeah, and Ovi doesn't step off the ice on the power play, so they don't even need an extra defenseman because Ovi just plays the point for 4-8 minutes straight sometimes. So, yeah, I don't think he's worth anything. And even his blocks died off like 4 or 5 years ago too, probably to try to stop getting injured, but he still gets injured, and now he also gets less blocks and hits.
I'll be curious. I want to watch this one. I don't think it's going to be huge, but if anything, this is kind of like a lateral move here, you know, given what he put up last year and stuff like that. So I think it's time to move to the forwards, unless you got more D guys you want to talk about.
Well, I mean, we talked about Tanev, basically, like if blocks are a thing, then great. But not really. Burevetsky to Nashville.
Right.
You know, if again, hits and blocks,
big banger.
Categories league, he's a cheap way to get those. Value banger. But obviously, don't expect anything more than that.
Try my best to mute the mic when I blow my nose. Sorry, folks. Like, I'm fighting off the flu right now. So, just bear with me in my nasally voice this episode. And sorry if there's some sniffles this year.
Yeah, I think that's it really for D. Until Garen wakes up tomorrow.
I think maybe we'll put out another episode. I know Nate from Apples and Genos wants to hop on and talk some stuff. And Tyler Mattson also. Looking forward to talking to him too. So we're gonna have a couple guests coming on, and then we'll probably just do like a round table type thing because our 31 team breakdown is going to be starting, and I still got some homework to do on that, so we'll probably take like a week off of, you know, big episodes, but we'll probably, you know, crack some beers, talk some hockey, you know, no notes type of episodes, but that could be fun. That's going to bring us to forwards. I want to start off with Stastny to Winnipeg. How do you like it?
Good, actually. Yeah, I think they're Little's done. I mean, so yeah. There's a lot of room there to play. Depending on how the lines shake down, there's quite a few good people to play with.
Okay, so 17-18, Ehlers, Stastny, Line A. That was the line that Stastny played on. They had a goals for percentage of 70%, and their expected goals for percentage was right around 56%. So I think that's going to be a fun line. Stastny's a perfect stopgap for Perfetti. I'm not like huge on Perfetti, but Perfetti in Winnipeg is actually pretty interesting. He's going to be perfect for Liney when that team does come. And I think, you know, going back to Stastny here, it's somebody we already got a look at in Winnipeg. And I think that's going to be a great fit considering these goals for percentages and stuff like that. It's exactly what they need. Like you said, Brian Little is no longer there, or at least for this season. They're going to be able to put him on long-term IR day one and then work from there. I think, you know, that's a great move.
And you know what? Since he was there before, like Line A has gotten a lot better in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Like he kind of was like only goals 1 year, and then he tried to be work on his defensive game and whatever and turn into a bit more of a playmaker at times. But I think that could be a, you know, he might have a real breakout finally, like where he puts it all together. Because he's had kind of like different parts of his game looking good. So I'd be pretty excited about that line. And I think the Stastny might actually have some value.
This, I didn't have this on my docket here, but what do you think about nobody claiming Tyler Johnson today?
Well, what is he, 5 million?
5 mil for like 4 more years, I think.
I think that's one of those guys who is... another year would have been claimed, but just he's on the brink. Like, is he in a normal league? He's worth that money, but when things are tight, I don't think you want that contract as well. Yeah. I don't think he's a bad player, but it's almost like the whole league just said, let's just let it go.
Screw Tampa, right? Let's not do him any favors. That's what they're saying. Like, but I saw like Detroit at the top of the waiver order. I'm like, this, like, you got Valtteri Filppula as your 2C. Like, you could use Tyler Johnson. I know he's 30. The contract's up when he's 34. But, you know, for free, I mean, you have to pay him, but you don't have to trade for him. Like, Stastny trade, they gave up Carl Dahlstrom to Vegas. Like, for Tyler Johnson, all you got to do is pay him. And that's a pretty solid second-line center there. So, but I guess everybody was in on it. Like, screw Tampa. They can deal with their own shit. And I think a lot of the same thing is going to be happening with Fleury too, because Petrangelo's over in Vegas talking to them. And nobody's going to be looking to do Vegas any favors, taking the Fleury contract off their mm-hmm. hands when they're already over the cap. Where was I going with all of that? I forget.
We off-roaded it there for a second.
I think while I was talking about Detroit, Bobby Ryan to Detroit, do you care?
That's true. Well, care might be a strong word. Would it, in the right league, would I spend $1 million to risk it? Yeah, for sure. Like $1 million in a cap league, he could, not as drastically, but he could pull like one of those Timu Solani type comebacks where he comes out of nowhere, gets like 30 goals and then rides off into the sunset the following year.
I wonder if this could be like Robbie Fabry. I remember feeling almost the same sort of ambivalence when Fabry got traded to Detroit, but then kind of went off for a few weeks. And, you know, maybe we'll get a flash of that out of Bobby Ryan. Like, you know, Detroit's not exactly overflowing with offensive talent. So I think Bobby Ryan's going to have a good role there. He's a right shot, something that they needed. So, could get top power play too.
What if he gets on the power play with like Larkin and Mantha? And could have a few. As your last forward, he could be fine.
Craig Smith to Boston. He looks to be on the third line. He's really good at even strength. It's pretty decent on the power play. Could be competition to Andre Kasha. What do you say?
I won't fight you for him. I don't know.
And I won't put up a fight either, so. Well, yeah, he'd be on the third line. It's going to be him and Charlie Coyle, David Krejci in the second line. Kasha and like Jake DeBrusk, I guess, unless they're in on Hall too. There were a couple picks here that I really liked. I liked Kyle Turris to Edmonton and Alex Wenberg to Florida. I thought those were two really good fits following buyouts. You got them on low contracts, low risk, high reward with both these guys. Kyle Turris he's going to be your 3C. You have to figure, you know, some winger, whether it's Ennis, Neil, Archibald, a free agent, if they can continue to go that route, McDavid and maybe Puljujarvi or Cassian. Second line, that hammer line, the Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Draisaitl, Yamamoto. Then you got like Neil, Turris, and Cassian, or whoever falls from that mishmash of McDavid line shit. And then you got a fourth line that nobody's going to care about. And then the power plays, like, they almost have a pretty good second power play here, like Yamamoto, Turris, Puljujarvi, Nurse, maybe Chiasson or Neil or whatever. Like, they actually have a second power play now.
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think it's a huge upgrade for him. I mean, another one where you can't really downgrade from where he was going, but I believe he's super cheap, right, as well?
Yeah, I think it was like 1.65 or something. Like, they're pretty savvy with their moves, man. Like, Barry signed on a pretty cheap one, too, and, you know, really good moves.
I think it's a good move, and I think, you know, obviously, again, with the third line, second power play situation, and it would be a deeper league, but I think he could be a not overly big risk.
I wonder if they trot Neil out on the top line now that they don't have, like, a conditional pick attached to how many goals he scores.
Fair enough, yeah. They might have like Puljujarvi back in the picture.
You know, I would almost guarantee that Puljujarvi probably wants like a prime role. He's doing pretty good in Sweden too, so I think he probably comes back on the condition that he plays top line minutes, just because he seems to have that kind of attitude, or at least that's what I've been hearing.
He seems like the kind of player why would you want him unless he was going to be there, right? I mean, in Edmonton, the top six is great. But then, you know, do you bring in, especially after all the troubles they've had in the past, do you bring him in and go, okay, you're playing with Zach Cassian and James Neal on the third line in Edmonton? Like, that's not going to happen. He'll just go somewhere else or stay where he is. So, yeah, if he comes back, I think he's playing. I really think they signed him to trade him is what I think, but. I also thought we were keeping Markstrom. So,
Wenberg to Florida, great playmaker. This kind of bumps Heppo Niemi and Borgstrom down a little bit. Cuts the chances of Holla coming back on the free agent market. As I figure, Wenberg's probably the 2C. I think this does great things to Wenberg's value. Like, I'm not certain I'd be after him in shallow leagues, but as a 2C, playing with like Vetrano and, well, the winger spots are kind of open right now, as Dadonov and Hoffman still don't have deals. I think a lot of these forwards, they're waiting out for Taylor Hall to do something, kind of set the market. So wait to see about who Wenberg is going to be centering. But I think, you know, it's a pretty solid move. Good shout out to bounce.
Yeah. I mean, he was highly touted early on, but he's never really performed, as it were. Yeah, so if he gets on a good line, but I don't know. I don't know that anyone's ever gone to Florida and gotten better. Like, has there anybody who's gone to Florida and improved their game ever?
What would you say to Yandel? Like, he was Arizona, he was in New York. He was always pretty good, but I think he did pretty well in a.
That's fair, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe I don't think it's a game changer.
How about the rest of Florida's moves, man? He's like turned over his entire defense outside of like Ekblad and Yandel. Like, he brought in Gudas. Who else? Gudas, Carter Verhaeghe, Vinny Hinostroza, and Alex Wenberg. So a lot of stuff happening on the defense side of things. So I think, you know, bringing in somebody like Carter Verhaeghe and Alex Wenberg, definitely in tune with the defensive system I think he's trying to build. So I'm optimistic about Bob this year. Not like, you know, blindingly optimistic, but I think it's not worse. You know,
I think Bob's in a way better position, but I think essentially everyone else is in a worse position. And I think they will win more games. But I mean, maybe. I mean, Huberdeau has been so hot for the last couple of years. I think he'll probably go down a few points. I'm looking at their lineup right now. I mean, they're probably going to have Hornquist on the top line. Hornquist.
Brutal.
Top line. That's...
Yeah. I forgot they brought him in.
And then, you know, like, what, Wenberg, Vetrano, they've got, like... Yeah, I mean, Achari, they've got a good... They're almost, like, turning into Columbus here. It's pretty much what they're doing, right? They're surrounding Bob the way he was in Columbus with a couple of guys who can score and then a bunch of guys who can play. So, yeah, I don't have high hopes for anyone's offense in Florida, to be honest.
That's another team who's been busy, man, is Columbus. They got rid of, like, a ton of guys. They got rid of Savard, I think. Who was the other guy? Nudavara. Just a lot of the defense turning over. I guess they were trying to make room on Hall, but maybe he's out from that one. Not sure. I think the last one that's fantasy relevant here, like, you know, to a much smaller degree, might be Simmons to Toronto.
Oh.
How much do you like that one?
That's another save Dubas's job move, that one. I mean, good. It's what they need, but... For fantasy, I don't think there's any reason to go get Simmons. I don't know. Like, they're bringing him in to strictly bang. Like, and it's
he's gonna fight. He's gonna hit.
And maybe as a joke, sometimes they'll throw him on the power play once in a blue moon in front of the net, but not like in other places. Like, it's Toronto. They've got a lineup of people who can play on the power play. So I don't.
I'm not sure he'll ever touch power play one there.
No, like in other places, right? Like even when he's in Philly and places like that, you'd see him the odd time just put him in front of the net because he can throw people around. But Toronto has no need for that, right?
So, oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't think he's worth anything fantasy. But again, good on Dubas, which I never have said before. Yeah, I think it's another one where it's a hockey move, but not a fantasy move.
Well, I think the names that are left yet that we're waiting for the full picture here is Taylor Hall, Alex Pietrangelo, Tyler Toffoli, Anthony Duclair, Mike Hoffman, Evgeny Dadonov, even guys like Mikael Granlund, Eric Haula, Ilya Kovalchuk still out there right now. So there's a good amount of value that people can still, like, we're waiting for all these dominoes to fall. And I think Taylor Hall is probably at the forefront of the forward core, like guys like, you know, Tyler Pitlick and Nate Thompson are signing because they're not on the high end of the market. But I think Hall is going to set the market, and then we're going to see some dominoes start falling for the other guys.
I would agree for sure that Hall is Hall and Pietrangelo on the back end, but Hall, Koivu signed with the Blue Jackets.
That's right, he did, yeah.
That's a good fit for him for his last couple of years. It's his style.
Torts is going to love him.
But for forwards, I think I would rather, for the money that people are going to pay out, I bet Toffoli ends up being a better deal than Hall. Like, I'd rather have
to. Like, cost per point?
Yeah, for sure. I could just see people, someone's going to pay Hall like $9 million and not get their money's worth. Like, $9 million, you better be, you know, Art Ross conversation when you're getting up there. Whereas I think Toffoli will probably end up with like. Six and
yeah, five or six.
Be surprising, you know, whether we get him or
same
not.
For Duclair.
I hope we get him. Yeah, Duclair.
I think Duclair is going to be value too. He'll be like, you know, a number probably around three or four and put up 20, 25 goals depending on where he goes. Like, I'm really excited about Duclair. I want the Flyers to do something other than sign Derek friggin' Pouliot. Well, that's all I got for tonight, man. Is there anybody else you wanted to touch on?
No, I'm just going to hit refresh one more time because you never know today.
Yeah, I've been off Twitter this whole time. Who knows what Bill Guerin's up to right now? Friggin' Rodney Dangerfield.
I'm off. Someone should check his receipts and see how many bottles of hard liquor receipts he's got kicking around this last little while here, because it seems like...
He's hitting the good stuff, man.
He's definitely made the team his own. Can't say he's sitting idle. The Minnesota Mild, no more. Yeah, it doesn't look like there's any new moves that we missed here. Oh, Trevor. I thought it said JVR. It just said Van Riemsdyk signs with the Capitals.
Oh, boy.
I was like, oh, shit, really? But no, it was Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
That would have been big.
Trevor Van Riemsdyk, not so much. Not that I care, but LeBanc. LeBanc signed, if anybody cares.
Yeah, big raise, man. He got like 4.75 or something.
Yeah.
Nobody in San Jose proved it. So
they said, here, we'll pay you because we have no one else to pay. Anyways.
Well, that's all we got tonight, man. So if you guys want to get in touch with us, you can find us at FHF Hockey on Twitter. You guys can join our Discord. And if you want to check out the blog, I'll probably be putting something out when free agency kind of trickles to a close. That's at FHFHockey.com. And I think that's everything. So we'll catch you next time, guys. We love you.